How is your health? How is your health? Good health is a blessing, isn't it? And when you lose that good health, you feel it. Many people, when sickness comes, whether it's the flu or some virus or some major diagnosis, it creates sort of this burden that rests on us. And in fact, the Bible says that that's right to feel that. You know, whenever we are sick, we want to get healthy. We want to get away from that. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2 that Jesus came and did something. He came and he took on flesh and blood. This is God the Son. He came into this world for a reason. And it says this, that it was in Hebrews chapter 2. He took flesh and blood that through death, he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. You see, when we get sick, what you're feeling is the loss of life, the loss of the ability to live. It's that you're getting closer to death. As we age, as we deteriorate, as we get some diagnosis, we feel that in our lives. And this is something that's unique about the Christian good news, the gospel, the Christian message. It's that this person, Jesus, came and he won a victory by dying. He won a victory. He redeems people through his suffering. In fact, he has been exalted by the process of humbling himself to the very lowest place. The scripture says, even death on a cross. Sickness, death, the weight of these things that move us closer and closer to the grave are heavy and they weigh on all people. That's what it says in Hebrews. All these people have this fear of death, and that subjects us to this type of lifelong slavery. The reality of it, it comes and it weighs us down. And what we see in this passage in Mark is that Jesus, who came to redeem us from, to win a victory over the devil, to redeem us, to save us, to get us out of this, did so in some amazing ways. Ultimately, he did it by his death. And as he went, and as he walked on this earth, he was healing people in ways that arms that didn't work could work. Fevers that crippled a person were gone. Lepers are made clean. And people were seeing this with their own eyes. Amazing. That's what we see, and we pick up with this. Last week, we looked at Jesus in this synagogue in Capernaum. In the same town, that's where we pick up in our passage today. It says that immediately he left the synagogue and he entered the house of Simon and Andrew. So this is Peter. Simon's name became Peter. And when they're there, this is when the whole town is amazed because they saw this one, this guy that was teaching the synagogue, and that he taught with authority. This guy has authority. So when they get to the house, Peter's mother-in-law is sick with a fever. And it says that Jesus took her by the hand and he lifted her up. This is a healing. And the idea here with being lifted up is that he restored her to health. And you get this picture of Jesus, God who took on flesh. He just touches her by the hand, and the sickness is gone, and he gives her strength and life. He is this life giver. Amazing. Now, the next thing that happens, this is moving very quickly. It says at sundown. That means it's the end of the Sabbath. On a Saturday, the Sabbath is over and people can go back to work. People can go about while still honoring the Sabbath. So when the sun goes down, all these people come. They know where Jesus is. And what you see is, people are brought that are sick with all kinds of things. People have problems with these demons still, oppressed by demons. The whole town is gathered there. And what happens is Jesus keeps healing. It's like they keep coming. He keeps healing. People keep showing up with sickness, with illness, with this weight of death. And he just gives life. It's an amazing thing that's happening. And it says in this passage that when he casts out the demons, he wouldn't permit them to speak because they knew who he was. They knew him. Now, I asked you last week, and I want to ask you to think again about this. He commands silence to these people that are healed, to these demons that are cast out. He muzzles them. Why do you think that is? I want you to keep thinking about this. I'm not going to tip my hand yet. I can use that analogy in a church. I want you to keep thinking about this because we're going to see this more in the Gospel of Mark. Keep thinking about it. I've gotten some texts. I've had some conversations with some speculation about this. So let's keep thinking about it together. Here's the way it works, though. There's death that sort of weighs on us. It's sort of over us like a dark cloud. Everywhere in this world, lifelong bondage to this slavery where death is hanging over us. The thing is this. We often think that we are living healthy, that we are good. And this fear of death sort of weighs on us like, I wonder if this might happen to me. When we see a young person suffer severely, when we see death come to someone that seems like it's before their time, we think the natural default is being healthy and death is something strange. The Bible says something very different. It's not that something bad might happen to us. The biblical reality is that something bad has already happened to every one of us. We are enslaved by this sickness and death that is caused by sin. The big picture sin. I'm not talking about do something wrong, get slapped on the wrist with cancer. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. We are already compromised by a curse of sin that is over everything in this world. And to understand that, you go back to Genesis chapter 3. Sin is over everything. And it causes a burden on humanity. In fact, on all creation. Sin, this curse of sin, is a burden that gives pain and takes away life. As much as God has gifted us with health and life. Sin is all around us, and it is killing, it is taking, it is deteriorating all the time. What happened was in Genesis 3, disease and the power of the demonic entered into this world. The deterioration that leads us to the grave came into this world as a reality. You all know what I'm talking about. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam disobeyed God. Specifically, God says, "You disobeyed my word. And you did what I told you not to do." Because of that, God said to Adam, and he covers the whole creation that was under the dominion of Adam. He says, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Now in this world there will be pain and there will be death." That's the curse of sin. That's the situation in which we all find ourselves already. Every disease, every sickness, every pain. It's a reminder that we are creeping towards this ultimate reality of death. What can be done about it? In Romans chapter 8, we see that everything in creation, talking about like the animals and the trees and everything that God has made, it's like all of this is subjected to this same curse. And sort of in a poetic way, it says that it is groaning under the pains of all of this. It's a terrible situation. While this is happening, that this burden that gives pain and takes away life is happening, and while these people are being sick and inflicted with all of these different kinds of torments of the cause of that are caused by the curse, Jesus comes. Jesus shows up in this world, and he does things that are completely different. Jesus is able to heal all of it. He's able to give life where there is only death, where there is sickness and deterioration. Jesus gives life and he takes away pain. Amazing. And everyone is fascinated by it. And the people keep coming. He became wildly popular. The next thing that he does is that in the middle of the night, that same night, he slips out. It's very early in the morning. And you see that Jesus goes out to pray. Everyone wants to see him in the morning. Then his disciples come to him and they're almost giving him orders. They come and they're like, everyone's looking for you. We need to go back because everyone expects you to do something for them and you need to come back and keep healing. But Jesus went out early in the morning while it's still very dark and he was praying. Now, there is a lot that I would like to say about this. There is a lot to it when you think about God himself and yet fully man praying. How do you sort that out? That's something to think about. I'll say this. I think that we can say this with confidence. Jesus went out to be close with his Father. Jesus went out and was praying to be close with God the Father. And when he prays in the Gospels, what you see is it seems that he is being strengthened through that communion with the Father and that he is continuing to be focused on the mission, the reason why he came into this world, sent by the Father, that he is more and more aligned with it and his priorities are set. That's what we see here, because when the disciples, when these four men that are now his followers and they're in Capernaum, when they come to him, Jesus says, I'm not going to do what everyone is expecting me to do. I came for another reason, ultimately to preach. I came to proclaim widely the good news. That's what he started doing. That's what he did after his baptism and his time in the wilderness. He was preaching the gospel. And that message continues to go out. And Jesus says, this is the priority. This is what I have to do. The healings don't stop, but the preaching has to continue and it has to go everywhere. The priority of his ministry was getting this good news out there. He continued to heal, but the priority is preaching. Now we need to think about this. Because you see, too many people don't listen to all that Jesus says. Too many people only want something from him or part of what he does and offers. And when it comes to healing, too many people only want the healing of their physical suffering. And they have no regard for his preaching. This message of we need to repent and enter his kingdom by believing in him. That is what we need more than anything else. And that's the message that he is sending everywhere. Well, what happens next is he is out there. And in verse 40, we see something that changes. A leper comes to him. Jesus is out proclaiming. He's preaching. A leper comes to him. And the question, the request that the leper poses as he kneels and he's imploring Jesus is this. You see, the desire of this man's heart is that he wants to be clean. Do you see that word? He says, you can make me clean. In the last part of verse 40. Now, that is a word that focuses us in on something here. He wants to be clean. What does that mean? In the Bible, God makes a big distinction between what is clean and what is unclean. Throughout all that Moses wrote, there was a huge deal made about what is holy and what is unholy. When you're clean as a person, you are acceptable and you are included. When you were unclean, you were kept outside the camp, outside of town. You had to remain out there. A leper was labeled unclean. A leper had to let the hair go unkempt. A leper had to cover his upper lip with his hand and walk around saying to everyone his label. I am unclean. I am unclean. Give me space. That's what a leper did. I want to remind you, Charlie Popjoy did a great job of explaining the healing of the leper from the Gospel of Matthew. And so look at that again. He was able to cover things that we're not going to look at in this passage. When you're unclean, you are separated from God and from God's holy people in Israel. You are kept outside the camp. Just a little note here. Sometimes I always think it's funny whenever people say that parents should parent like God. And one of the things that I've heard is, I would never send my child to be in their room and send them away from my presence all by themselves. And I laugh because I think about this. I send them to their room all the time. I send them out of the house. If you're unclean, you are separated. If it's unacceptable, that's what happens. That's what it means to be unclean. Now think about this leper. Think about his life. You just miss out on so much. This man would have been told by his own family, you can't live in our house. Can you imagine your family members saying, don't come inside. You have to live somewhere else. And he would have to stay outside of town. Can you imagine getting this as this man did? If he had children, it would be, you're not allowed to touch your children. You can't hug them. You can't come anywhere near them. Imagine the pain that this man had in his life. You can't be close to anyone, and you are completely excluded. His goal was to become clean. Now, in the Old Testament, a priest could inspect your skin and tell you if you are either clean or unclean. Because sometimes something would pop up on your skin and then it would just work itself out. And that's not leprosy. And he would say, okay, you're clean. Now you can do some things and you can be back a part of the town. But a priest can't heal. You never saw priests healing people in the Old Testament. In fact, in the Old Testament, only two people are healed of leprosy. One's name was Miriam and the other was Naaman. Miriam was Moses' sister. And at one point, Miriam and Aaron, her brother, they spoke against Moses. And God said, I don't like that. You're a leper. Miriam was covered with leprosy at God's word. And it was horrifying. And when Aaron saw it and when Moses saw it, Aaron interceded for her. He pleaded for her. And he said, this is his words. He said, let her not be as one dead. That's a description of her as a leper. It's that death has come so fully, even though she's alive, because she is now a leper. Naaman the Syrian is also healed. Through God, at the direction of a prophet. Leprosy is such a terrible effect of the curse of sin. Leprosy is a horrible thing. It grows and it spreads. It consumes your physical body. And you die sort of this slowly, like this thing takes over. It gives pain and it takes life. And so leprosy, you see through the Bible, is this vivid physical display that is parallel to the spiritual sickness of sin itself. It's a visible description of the reality of sin that we all have. We are either clean or we are unclean. The way that people physically couldn't be around God and God's people, they couldn't worship, they couldn't enter the temple or the tabernacle. That is our condition in sin. That is the picture of us. Here are some ways. Sin makes us unfit to be with God. Isaiah 59:2 says that your sin has created a separation between you and God. You can't see him. You can't be near him. You can't be in his presence. It's not allowed because of sin. Can't be anywhere near God. Sin will hurt your whole life. It can spread, and it does. And it deteriorates every aspect of your life if it goes unchecked, if it's not healed. Sin clings to us. And we cannot clean ourselves from sin. God must do that. When Miriam was sick with this leprosy, she was as one dead. And she had to be healed. And when she was healed, it was like she was brought back to life. It was like her life had been taken. And now she has it again. She was unclean and then made clean. This leper comes to Jesus and he's on his knees and he is pleading with him. And he says, I need to be clean. Make me clean. And this is the question. That's what he wanted. But look at how he asks Jesus. The question is this. Jesus, do you care enough about me to do this? Do you want to do it? That's the question when he says, if you will. He's asking, if you are willing to do this, if this is what you're willing to do, I know you can. The leper found someone that was able to heal. Someone that can heal leprosy. He can heal everything that comes to him. He knows he can heal leprosy, and he says, I know you're able, but are you willing? Would Jesus recoil? Like surely so many people had recoiled and rejected him for so long. Would Jesus reject this leper? And there he is in front of Jesus, kneeling and imploring him. Help me, if you're willing. I know you can, but do you have the heart? Are you willing to? And then look at these amazing words. It says that Jesus was moved with pity and he stretched out his hand and touched him and he said, I will. In other words, I am willing. Be clean. Think about that. Do you ever wonder if Jesus is willing to help you? Do you ever wonder if the shame that you carry, if the things that have separated you from other people, I mean, the longer you live, the more reason there is to realize there are reasons that people will not like me. There are marks on my character. There is sin in my life. And if someone, it's like when relationships get closer, it's almost like if they know who I am in my whole life, will they reject me too? And this man comes to Jesus with this. And I want to ask you, do you wonder this about Jesus? And you can be a Christian and still wonder this. Is he willing to accept you? Is he willing to cleanse you? Look at what he does with this leper. That's your answer. He says, I am willing. I am willing. Be clean. Amazing. Amazing. If you come to him, he will not reject you. If you ask him for help, he will accept you. He will heal you. He was moved with pity. That's the answer. Jesus loves the most broken. Jesus loves the ones that are weak and have been rejected, those that are outcasts. And Jesus heals. Here's the thing. He is able to heal and he is willing to heal. Now, we have to sort of put some understanding on this. When Jesus walked this earth, he could heal anything, and he did. But our deepest need is to be made clean from sin. That sets his priority. That is the message that continues to go out. That is the healing that you can have this day. He continues to do that. You know, I think it's funny. I've seen some things where these faith healers that you see on television, they claim that they're able to just touch people and knock them down on the floor, sometimes whatever, and just heal them. Now, listen, God can still heal, and we pray for healing, okay? And God often works in that way, but he doesn't always do that. And there are many false teachers in our time that claim that they can heal anything, as if they were Jesus. And you don't see them in oncology wards. You don't see them in COVID units. You don't see them in hospice homes. going around saying, I can remove that death. No, they do it in ways that are false. Jesus is the one that heals. We should pray for that. Jesus miraculously heals in our time through those prayers. He does. That's what we were told to pray for in James 5. And we do. But the healing belongs to him, and he does it in his time, according to his will. The bigger priority is the greater need that we have, and that is healing and cleansing from our sin. And so the rest will come. If you have some terminal disease, if you feel the deterioration of your body, knowing that life in this world will come to an end, look, Jesus will undo all of that. The healing that he brings is complete and is full, and that will come later. What we need now is healing from sin. Now, Jesus heals this leper. And I want you to think about, I want you to try to put yourself in his shoes. Can you imagine how he felt? I mean, can you imagine, like, when your sickness goes away, if your fever breaks, and all of a sudden, you know, you're exhausted, but you still have some energy, and all of a sudden it's just different, and you start, you know, getting better. Imagine this leper. The feeling that he had. He is made clean. He is no longer rejected. He's no longer repulsive. He can be with people. He's no longer excluded. He can be in relationship. He can hug. He can touch. He can share meals. All of that was gone before. And maybe the best of all, his shame is gone. He is clean. Imagine the feeling this guy had. And Jesus sternly warns him not to tell people how this happened, but go and show himself to the priests. Moses commanded a process for re-entering God's people when you're made clean. You have you take some birds and you get a shower and a bath. And I'm sort of paraphrasing here. You wash your clothing, you make sacrifices, and then there's a week, and then you're free. You're clean. And Jesus said, go and do this as a testimony. What Jesus did is he revealed something here. He gives us a picture of who he is and what he does. He came to heal. He came to make clean what is unclean. This man, Jesus, this is he who came to cure sin. To cleanse from sin. And so he continues to preach. His word continues to go out, the good news, that there is life, that there's a kingdom that's right at the door. And you need to be ready. And the way to be ready is by believing in him, by trusting in him who has all authority. And the one thing that will keep you out is your sin. The one thing that excludes you from that new city. The one thing that excludes you from the community of those that have life forever in his kingdom is your sin. That's it. So how bad is your sin? How long has your sin brought you shame and pain? The worst thing that you have in your life is sin. The thing that gives the devil leverage in your life is sin. Sin will make you pay 10 times more than you ever expected. And it will deliver a fraction of what it promises. Sin is a trap that entangles us and deteriorates us. And he can get rid of it. Jesus came to make you clean from your sin. He is able and he is willing to make you clean from your sin. This is the first point of application. The first big thing is this. Come to him to be clean from your sin. Come to Jesus and ask him to make you clean from your sin. The way that it works is this. He does it, and it's like Peter's mother-in-law being taken by the hand. He raises you up to new life. And she began to serve him. And she had the strength to serve him. But look at what it cost Jesus to do this. down in the last verse here, verse 45, look at the exchange that happens. Look at the great Savior. This just gets me. Verse 45, right in the middle, it says, this word goes out. The guy doesn't obey Jesus. The command to silence again. Here's another example. But he doesn't listen to it. This guy went out and it was talking freely. And the word was spread. The news was spreading everywhere. Look at what it says. So that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places. The beginning of this, when the man comes to him, we have a leper. Throughout the law, this is the description of how a leper has to live. They are excluded. They are no longer allowed to enter towns. They have to remain out in desolate places. A leper is someone who is excluded. What does Jesus do? What does it cost him to heal us of our sin? He takes our place and trades with us. Jesus had to be excluded for this man to be included. That is your reality as well. Jesus was excluded. Jesus took the shame and the reproach of a leper, of the burden of our sin that makes us unclean, and he took it. And he went outside the city, and he was outside of Jerusalem where the unclean things are dumped. And he died there on a cross. What a God. This is so unique to the Christian message. Jesus wins a victory through dying. He takes on reproach to make us free from it. What a God. Jesus gave this man life again, and it cost him by laying down his own life. Do you see the picture here? Do you see what is happening? Jesus redeems through death. In Hebrews chapter 13, we read this, that Jesus suffered outside the city on that cross. And why? Why did he do that? It was to make you clean. It was to die as a payment for your sin, to wash you free. This is what it says in Hebrews chapter 13. Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people. What does that mean? It means to make them clean, to make them holy or acceptable to God. That's what he did for us when he died on the cross. To sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, this is the application for Christians. Look at the whole chapter later. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city in this world. You know, people hold on to as much as they can in this world. It's not worth it. It's better to have Jesus than to have all the things of this world. But let us go to him outside the camp to bear the reproach that he endured. Because we seek a city that is to come. Friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, this is what it means to be a Christian in light of what Jesus did. It's this banner. It's you are the light of the world. You identify with him, including when it brings reproach. It means this banner. It means you're a part of what he's doing, that you're willing to suffer in order to do what he tells us to do, to go and make disciples. There are many applications also in light of this in Hebrews 13. You follow him with a cross. You do good. You offer praise to God. You bear shame when you have to. You obey your leaders and you submit to them. Hebrews 13 gives us a list of things in light of what he has done for us. And here's the amazing thing. It's worth it all. You know, with him, physical death won't stop. With him, in this world, which is passing, we will still get sick. And we can pray for healing and we should try to have healing. But here's the thing. Jesus is better than temporary health. Jesus is better than a happy life right now, physically speaking. Jesus became an outcast so that you can be included in his kingdom.